Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, an early Happy New Year again here on Circles of Change, and I welcome in the studio for a second time this year, David Quackenbush. Good morning, David. How are you today?
Good morning, Sarah. How are you doing?
Just great. Well, we had you here 6 months ago for Father's Day with your son, Charlie, so
yes,
it's great
it was
to have
fun.
You back. It was lots of fun. Let me introduce David again. He's a 50-year second-generation watch and clock repair expert. He's in partnership with his son today, Charles, at A1 Watch Repair in Tucson. Starting as a jewelry polisher at age 12 at the Gemco store where his dad was employed in California, David began disassembling and cleaning watches for his father's repair work when he turned 13. He eventually attended the same watchmaker school that his father had back in the 1930s, the Bradley Polytechnical School in Peoria, Illinois. David and Charles today have been in their current location in Tucson for 12 years. It's on the east side on Broadway near Camino Seca. They specialize in American and Swiss pocket and wristwatch, along with American, German, and French spring-round and weight-driven clocks. In 12 years, their team has processed, now get this, over 16,000 repair tickets for watches and clocks of every size, vintage, and condition. And today, they replace some 700 watch batteries. And at any point in time, they have over 200 clocks and 400 watches in the process of restoration or repair. So I would gotta believe there's no rest for the weary, if that's a situation.
No rest for the watchmaker. There's so few of us.
There's so few. That's exactly right.
Yes.
You know, in our first show, we might want to recap that. Interesting how so many individuals came to the general Tucson area after the war to get involved in watchmaking.
Yes, many of them. My father, in fact, after World War II, at the end of his stay in the service, was brought back to Fort Sam Houston and helped with a program where men were put into programs where they were able to learn to repair watches, do sit-down type jobs, men that have been amputee. And, so they brought a lot of watchmakers into the realm. At that time, at the end of World War II, after the training period in 1953, there were approximately 500,000 watchmakers in the United States.
Whoa.
Now there's approximately 3,500. And it makes the population of a town like Tucson, every watchmaker is certainly needed.
Well, and, you know, to think, and some people might say, well, gee, you know, watch the technology in watches has changed a lot. It must be simpler. Or actually, I buy my $39.95 watch. It's a throwaway. I don't need it fixed. Or actually a whole generation now of young people who don't even wear watches because they carry their mobile phones in their pocket, which is the timepiece that they use. But in truth, you've got a very rich legacy of every generation of watch, let alone clocks, that still demand that care and feeding.
Yes, they do. It's unusual that a lot of the watches that we see are watches that were given to people, especially the men. Everybody seems to think that the men are not very sentimental, but really the men are the most sentimental when it comes to their watches. They will receive a watch as a graduation present or a watch from a father or a grandfather, and they'll relegate it to a drawer for 25, 30 years, and reunion time at the high school will come up, and they want to wear that watch they wore in high school, so they bring it in and we restore it. And when they come to pick it up, they're like a boy with a new BB gun or a new wagon or a new bicycle. They're just beside themselves, and it's a wonderful thing. And then, of course, we always instill in them that now that you've enjoyed this watch, when you don't use it anymore, pass it to your son or your grandson and let it live on. It's really wonderful.
And you're absolutely right. I've got a couple stories. In fact, we kind of wanted to make this a bit of a story hour to bring forward the not just the sentimentality and the history of these watches, but actually the technology, the pathology of horology, as you call it. You know, you're really a doctor for these devices. But I know absolutely what you're talking about. My husband's father passed away a couple years ago, and in the estate or a series of pocket watches. Mm-hmm. And we're talking 7 or 8 pocket watches that Dad had collected over the years. And each one of them is just a touchstone to a different part of his life. He's a World War II veteran as well, and always quite an artist. And he was a longtime tool and die designer in the automotive industry. But his respect and regard for the artisan world was so profound that he had that collection. And then here most recently, Mom passed away to join him. Dad was 90 and she was 89. Here they gotten married at 17 and 19. Amazing. And a very interesting story, and I know you know this because you helped Ted. You know, it was just the day before Christmas, I believe, that Ted stepped in and had a brand new watch that actually my mother-in-law had bought for herself as a gift, as if Dad was still here. So it was, in that element, a tremendous amount of sadness still. But she never got to wear it because then she slipped to that next phase of her life. Ted brought it into you to say it needed a new battery because it wasn't running then. It was brand new. And what did you discover?
Well, that was kind of a fun day. Of course, we were really busy right before Christmas, but Ted walked in and he says, I have this watch, and I inherited it, and we're passing it down, and I need to get a battery in it. So I handed it to one of my technicians, and he took it back to his bench, and he said, hey, Dave, come over here. And he says, this doesn't take a battery. This is a capacitor, which is the new solar watch made by a Citizen called the Echo, as well as Seiko makes one called their solar model. And so we kind of chuckled a little bit, and I walked up and I told Ted that the watch was a solar watch, and he kind of got a little red in the face and said, oops. And it's kind of funny because we've had that happen so many times, and I had a little old lady come in, and she was just as darling as could be. She was probably 5'2" and just the cutest little thing, and she says, I've had this watch for 4 years, and I wind it diligently every morning, and it just stopped. And they said, well, your watch runs on a battery. She goes, you mean I've wasted my time winding this every single morning? And we just chuckled, and she chuckled. And, of course, whenever that happens, we don't charge anybody anything. Just like I say that whenever I have somebody come and needs a rosary repaired,
yes,
I always repair it for free because I figure that's
a pay-it-forward scenario.
That's a little pay-it-forward, yes.
A little pay-it-forward.
But we have a lot of those little scenarios, and those make the business kind of fun.
Well, and in Ted's case, of course, the bigger oops and the fact he turned a little bit red, of course, is he's a self-proclaimed technologist, electrical, electronic software, the whole gamut. So for you to have it over him on that I truly believe that I know Dad and Mom up in heaven were laughing hysterically, thinking here he is coming to you to say it doesn't run, it needs a new battery. The other part of the story, by the way, just for our folks to understand, and this goes back to your earlier comment about Be thoughtful about leaving things in drawers, because Ted and his older brother Tom made the decision that, you know, at this point, brand new watch, Mama just passed it, and Christmas time the next day, they really wanted to gift this to someone. And this was a hard road to pass through. Mm-hmm. And a thought struck to him, and he went to see our minister, Steve Keplinger, at Grace St. Paul's Church. And Ted really expected this would be easy. I'll just pass the watch over and say, here, it's all wrapped up, and give it to someone because there are so many people in need this holiday season. But instead, it opened up the floodgates of Ted needing some time with his minister about Mom passing on. And Steve's comment was really classic, though. He said, well, you did all the hard work. This is easy for me. I get to give it away.
Yes. It's amazing how the connection we have with people. My nephew was over the other day, and his father had passed away within the last year. And there was some stuff there that I was giving to my nephew, and it was kind of touching.
Mm-hmm.
Just a box of spices, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah.
But that's life, and that's what we love about it.
Yep, and I think, again, you're in the business of relationships, you know, and whether that be relationships of your customers that come in or the histories and the stories behind these watches and clocks that are sitting and be waited, attended to, or the stories that you carry with you.
They're very interesting. I had a gentleman and a lady come in at one time, and they had this whole bag of watches, and they were going to give them to Goodwill. But before they did, they thought, well, let's go talk to Dave. And so I put all the Timexes in a corner and the Bulova's in a corner and the other ones. And they came up and it was a beautiful little pocket watch. Mm. And I opened it up and told them that the pocket watch was made around 1930. It was a watch considered to be a railroad grade and railroad approved, which was a very high quality, beautifully engineered timepiece. And I said, this would be a great watch for a grandson or a nephew. You shouldn't give this away. And so the little old lady kind of says, well, that's nice. And so I didn't think anything of it. And about 4 months later, a friend of mine, a person I know from collecting toys years ago, came in and says, look at this watch I just got from my grandmother. And it was that watch. And I just... It startled me because I thought it was such a neat connection that this watch would have just been lost.
Yeah.
Well, lost to Goodwill or whatever.
Not that someone wouldn't have appreciated it.
Someone would have enjoyed
it. But they wouldn't have known the connectivity.
But it was, and when I told him the story about that, it brought a little tear to his eye, and it was just neat.
Yeah.
And I see him every once in a while, and
he always pulls
that watch out
up.
Of his pocket and says, I still got Grandma's watch. He calls it Grandma's watch because she's the one that gave it to him. Even though it was a man's watch. But
yeah.
Very cool story.
You know, back to your comment, though, about the differences between men and women when it comes to timepieces. Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting that you, over the years, have appreciated a significant sentimentality from men.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. Of course, I always, in order to build up the men's collection of watches, my favorite thing to do is always tell the men that before they buy their first Rolex, they should buy their wife one first. And that way they've taken care of the wife. And
you won't get as much grief when if it's investing themselves.
So when it's time for them to get their new Rolex or whatever, then it's not quite so difficult and makes life go easier. But the men are very particular about the timepieces they purchase, the accuracy of them, how they look. And some of them have multiple numbers of very, very expensive watches. And it's kind of neat to see.
Aha. So they're behind-the-scenes collectors, whereas women usually are the ones tagged with needing the plethora of jewelry.
Yes.
And so there is a difference. You know, I think that idea that the watch, is it a fashion statement or is it a functional statement?
Well, I think it's kind of both. With women, we have one lady that comes in and has 95 watches.
Oh, my gosh.
She boasts about having 95 watches, and she says they match every dress, every pair of slacks, every shoe, every purse, every hair color, my glasses. She
has, wow.
All this stuff. And where the men will come in, and they'll have one old Bulova watch that they've worn that they got from high school, and they just love it, and it's their favorite watch.
95 watches. That's like the Emile DeMarcos of shoes.
Yes.
That she's got the collection of
watches.
I
just told her, don't bring them all in the same day for batteries.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, Dave, the fact also, coming to your shop, A1 Watch Company, by the way, we're speaking with David Quackenbush, and it's a-1watch.com, that it is a bit of a time machine when you come into your studio and your workshop there. It's got the classic counter where everybody kind of leans up there to have that first conversation in the back, yourself or Don or Charlie. Everybody's got their heads down, working away, mm-hmm. meticulously lighting and devices. But the tools, the equipment, and even, you know, your dad's table that you're working on,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, my dad's watch bench. Well, if it could talk, it could probably tell lots of stories. And the bench of the man that I bought my store from when I came to Tucson.
And what's unique about these benches? Little drawers, angles?
Well, they're
what's
what
going
they call a 13-drawer bench. But I kind of, to me, they're the spirit of the guys that own them.
Mm-hmm,
my father's bench, right. Mr. Spanhook's bench, the man I bought my store from. A couple guys in town, a guy named Ken Johnson that was a watch dealer for years in town. I have his bench now. Tools from a great watchmaker in town by the name of Ollie Mott. Just these guys were fabulous watchmakers, and they were my mentors. And without them, I might not be here today.
Well, and to have that, thus their presence in your shop, mm-hmm. from a spiritual standpoint.
You bet.
The watchmaker's tools, so they really were custom. You know, I have this, it's not the favorite screwdriver, wrench, and, pipe turner, but they're very meticulously handmade tools, many of them, handmade tools to do handmade work.
Yes, they're very interesting. And the thing that always fascinated me was the early watchmakers not only understood how to manufacture a watch. They built the tools to make the parts. And your husband being an engineer, a machinist, and having that training, it is fascinating. Even with what I do, that fascinates me unbelievably.
Yes, and in fact, for those of us that are particularly mechanical engineers, it's one thing to design the product, but it's another thing to design the tools that make the product.
Yes.
And even then to the next level, the tools that need to service the product, which is what you're dealing with. But the other challenge, of course, that we talked about here is how the technology has changed over all these years, and that actually part of your constraint in getting your inventory through and repaired is the availability of parts.
Yes.
And some of those are the biggest gems you can get, is if a watchmaker and repair gentleman sells the business, you're actually there to get the parts.
Exactly. And a lot of times when the older gentlemen pass away, the wives look at most of that stuff as, oh, that's just in the way of my new sewing room, which is fine. And it's nice that a lot of it goes to a watchmaker instead of just disappearing to the steampunk genre, which is a lot of watch parts disappear there as well.
But even then, the companies that are out there, there are so few distributors of spare parts, if I recall you saying to us that you're kind of over a barrel in some regard to what they have access to.
The general parts that we use, high-grade parts for a lot of the more expensive watches are extremely difficult to find. But there, since the Internet has opened up many, many doors, it makes it a little bit easier. As time goes on, it's getting a teeny bit easier.
Yeah, but it's still a matter of, do we really know what we have when we open up the satchel? It still takes the experienced eye of those of you who've been in the business for such a long time.
Well, it's a lot of fun going through a box of parts and pieces and going, oh, I've been looking for that. And the crazy thing is, you remember which customer it is and which watch it is, and you go, oh, there's that piece.
How in the world do you remember that? Is it just this? It's a mental imprint?
I have no idea. It just is there. I'll be at a swap meet, and I'll see a watch in a box, and I'll pull it out, and I go, hey, this is the part for so-and-so, and it just, I get excited about it. It's cool.
Well, and that's it. And so the fact that, you know, we mentioned 6 months ago, you came on the show with your son, Charlie, that he's picked up a similar line of passion and love for you and in this business. And I'm sure your dad, where he resides now, watching down the multiple generations. But this is not something that you go to school for. I mean, obviously you did to Accenture, but you got to start with that passion at the onset.
You have to really have a mechanical mind and a desire to just really enjoy it. It's not many people can sit at a desk for 7-8 hours a day and just crank. It's not an easy thing to do.
Well, or also deal with the uncertainty, the mystery, and like the intrigue in many regards of the hunt to be able to fix and get that timepiece running then for your customers.
Yes, it's very much fun. Sometimes it's a little weary, so to speak. Email after email and site after site on the Internet, but we're glad we have that resource. Before, we didn't.
Yeah, that's right. So tell me another story, some maybe eccentric piece that you repaired around the holiday season.
Well, I think one of the pieces that I remember most was a watch that was a customer's of mine's, and it was a watch called the Zenith El Primero, and it was one of those watches that's exquisitely manufactured, extremely expensive. And the manufacturer would not sell the part, and I was determined that I wasn't going to give the watch back unrepaired. So I went down to the shop early on a Sunday morning, and I needed to make a part that measured in height just less than 2 millimeters.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And the arbor of the item was approximately 0.5 millimeter, and the pivots on that part were 0.17 millimeters.
Oh my goodness.
And it took me 3 different tries before I got it right. But once I got it right, I was able to install the part in the watch. And then after I had completed the watch, I was really extremely proud of it. I gave it back to the customer. And I think the repair bill on it was $600. And I thought, wow, I never charged anybody that much money before. It kind of even startled me, but I had earned every penny of it. And he said, well, I wanted to let you know I sent it to the manufacturer, and they told me it would be $3,500 to repair this watch. And my eyebrows kind of went up, and I swallowed hard, and I said, well, I'm glad I could fix it. But it was just a neat thing, because the watch was a watch that his father had bought prior to his passing, just a few months, and the guy was really excited about it, and it was a great day.
Wonderful story. Well, David Quackenbush, thank you so much for joining us again. It's A1 Watch Repair. That's 877 East Broadway, just east of Camino Seco here in Tucson. The number is 308-6863. Happy New Year, and thanks for telling us some stories here today.
Thank you, Sarah.
My pleasure.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.